That was really beautiful. Really, really beautiful. What words. Why do we feel the fear the other? Why do we demonize the unknown? Compassion is the answer. So I'm wearing this stole today. This stole was presented to me. These are children's handprints on this. It was presented to me when I left a previous church after an internship. And I always keep this close to me to say that a lot of what we do is for the kids. So I'm wearing this stole in honor of all the children. They're in cages at entertainment centers. And I think I'll just continue to wear this stole until there are no more children in cages. So Abraham could have sent them away. These strangers that approached him as he basked in the shade of his tent and took refuge under the large oak trees that were saving him from the blistering sun. At some points in the story, the travelers are identified as the Lord. At other times, just as three men. Some folks believe they were angels, but this is also unclear. The only thing that we can surmise through the lack of clarity is that perhaps the identities of these visitors just wasn't all that important. What was important was how Abraham acted upon their visit as they traveled through his land. Abraham could have done any number of things when confronted with their sudden presence. He could have, maybe in modern terms, called the police or the authorities and reported them for trespassing. He could have subdued them and put them in some kind of detention center, maybe. He could have told them to go back to where they came from. He could have done any number of these things and more. But in the heat of that blazing day, in the weariness of their travels, in the midst of their hunger and their thirst, he chose none of those ways, but instead, he put out a feast to restore their bodies and their souls. He has water brought to them to both drink, but also to wash their feet. And he has Sarah, he runs to Sarah and says, "Hey, Sarah, can you whip up a few of those great cakes, those award-winning cakes you make, and use the best flour?" He chooses a prize calf, and he has it prepared, the prize calf, has it prepared for the feast. And in the end, we hear this, that he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. There's a lot of choices that could have been made here, but he chose hospitality. He chose to see in these travelers not men from a foreign place to be suspicious of, not immigrants that were a threat, not people to fear and turn away or to detain. He chose to embrace them as brothers and to serve them with the best of what he had. I'm so delighted that churches all over the world are reading this story today from the lectionary. Maybe, just maybe, we'll learn a little something about how to live with one another. And it all begins, as Abraham reminds us here, and as Jesus will remind us again and again and again, with compassion, love, and hospitality. That was true 2,800 years ago, give or take, when the story was written, and it still remains true today, or at least it should. I have to admit, my friends, over the past few weeks of vacation, I tuned in less and less to what was happening in the world, less news, less social media, less current events. It felt great. I mean, it felt great. Life just seemed happier. Life just seemed more positive, more enjoyable, lighter. And I know that when we left for our annual McMillan road trip, well, it was all lock her up. Lock her up, being chanted wildly. But by the time we got back, it turned into send her back. What happened when I was gone? What did we miss? What the heck did we miss? I kind of want to go on vacation again. But I know a life tuned out is not a life well lived. So tuning back in, I am doing. And as I begin to pay attention again to the happenings of this nation and the world in deep detail, it's easy to realize that the story of Abraham's hospitality is so far from being realized, that we are just not living up to the welcome we are called to in this story. I mean, I admit it, I have a bit of a utopian streak to me. I naively hoped that when I got back from vacation and tuned in, God willing, kids would no longer be in cages and detention centers, going without food and blankets and toothbrushes and other basic human needs. I hope that families would be reunited and people would be granted asylum at our borders. I hoped. I dared to hope that the president and our Congress would be working well together, not at each other's throats. Good luck there, right? I hope that the gulf between politically divided people would have gotten a little more narrow as we realized all that we hold in common. I hoped things would just be a little better overall because we realized that we are all sisters and brothers in this nation and world together. I hope the hospitality that stories like we heard today guided us just a little bit more and more. I hoped for this all, again, through my admittedly blind utopian vision. Sometimes hope is all we have, right? To the realities of life. Our scriptures are full of hope. So why not try a little in our own time, amidst our own challenges, guided by what they have to teach us? So that's what I did, and that's what I will continue to do. And I think that's what we should continue to do as a community, to live with the hope that our ancient stories and the way of the one we follow, Jesus, have taught us. Live with the hope that we can live up, finally live up to those stories. Live with the hope that through our actions, our advocacy, and our speaking out, that we can bring the love and compassion and hospitality of our ancient stories to life in more real and concrete ways. If we can just avoid being lost in the weeds of negativity and fear, which can be so easy in these overwhelming times, we can keep the dream of our ancient stories alive and well. What is that dream of all of these stories? It's a dream that love conquers hate. It's a dream that fear succumbs to compassion. And it's a dream that hospitality and welcome trumps division and suspicion every single time. There are things worth fighting for in terms of our faith. And our ancient stories, like the one we heard today and all these churches are hearing today, can offer us the fuel to keep going and fight on a little more and a little more each and every day. It's a beautiful story. Now, this is just today a short kind of returning from vacation reflection. And I know we will have a lot more to say and do in the coming weeks and months as we walk the Jesus way, or the Abraham way in this case, together. But I'm hoping we can take some concrete steps to really demonstrate that here at Faith UCC, we take Abraham's kind of hospitality really seriously, especially in terms of the most vulnerable among us right now, immigrants. Now, one of those ways is to live with the admonition from the book of Hebrews, which states, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. That's such a powerful rule to live by, for it reminds us that God doesn't always show up in the people and places our comfortable lives might suggest, places we might expect. God shows up as wandering strangers today for Abraham. God shows up as a wrestler for Jacob. God shows up as a blazing bush to Moses and as sheer silence to Elijah. That should teach us that God can show up also. And how about a mother of an immigrant in a detainment center? Or a child drowned in the Rio Grande? Y'all see that image? Heartbreaking. That's a scripture text, just the image. Or a family seeking asylum, or in any number of mysterious ways. God and the stranger are often one. So let's make sure we are living the fullness of hospitality for our struggling sisters and brothers, both near and far, and that we are not missing the chance to minister to the angels among us. I'll lay out a couple of ways. Second way, in terms of the anti-immigrant tone sweeping this nation right now, let's do two things. I want to challenge you. First, let's pledge to be a sanctuary where a frightened family can find rest and peace, a meal, basic needs, friends, and advocates. Even if that involves them moving in here in some way, let's pledge to be a sanctuary. Let's roll the hospitality mat out for anyone seeking shelter from the storms that are raging in this nation right now because of their status or where they are from. That's what we're called to do. That's what this text calls us to do, as challenging as that might be. And second, I want us to start advocating vocally as well. I'd like to propose something to you today, that every Wednesday from 10 to 11 a.m., starting this week, we use our front yard out there on this busy road to gather one of us, two of us, three of us, a dozen, however many of us that can come out each week and bring our coffee and our presents and our signs and banners that say families belong together, that kids do not belong in cages, and that people should have the legal right to seek asylum in this awesome country. That's the message that we want to get out there. We did this previously with gun violence. We got a lot of attention for it. It seems like another time to do this on a regular basis. And I know others from the community will join us. This is not political. It's always the charge. Don't get political. This is not political. This is faith-based. We have a responsibility, in other words, a mandate from the core of our faith to speak out like this in light of the dozens and dozens of scripture passages imploring us to show what? Hospitality to the least, to the immigrant, the foreigner, the poor, the hurting, the struggling, and those on the journey like those three men that came to Abraham for rest, for shade, for a meal. That's what it's all about, folks. Hospitality. It all begins and ends with hospitality, for in that lies the foundation of compassion and the greatest of all things, according to Paul, which is what? Love. Let's put it into practice beginning this week. Will you join me? Will you join me?
Yes.
Thank you. Are you sure? Will you join me?
Yes.
I'll be out there on Wednesday, 10 to 11. There'll be stuff to make signs here. Anybody that can come each week, can come once a month, whenever you want. Let's get a core, and let's really rock this community with some real hospitality. It's good to be back with you, my friends, in this time. In the coming months, we have work to do. We have love to spread. We have hospitality to demonstrate to our community. So I implore you, keep tuning in, keep showing up and turning out. Keep the hope, keep the faith. There are good days ahead, I promise you. Now let's stop talking about it. Let's sing about it. Let's stand up and belt out a wonderful tune of one of the greatest